Dealing with dementia is one of those challenges that's just so widespread and so incredibly draining for everyone involved.
It is.
And it requires so much more than just a medical fix. It's about community, it's about early action, and, well, overcoming some really deep social hurdles.
That's exactly the tension we're looking at today in our sources. You see, in a lot of advanced healthcare systems, and specifically the Japanese case studies we're diving into, the medical treatment itself is actually pretty good.
Okay, so access isn't the primary problem.
Well, access to treatment, no. The real problem is that the two most important things, prevention and early consultation, they're almost always delayed, systemically delayed.
So people suspect there's an issue, but they wait.
They wait, and they wait until the condition has progressed, often to the stage of mild dementia before they even get a formal diagnosis. And that lost time is just, it's devastating.
All right, let's unpack this then and get to the solution that's being proposed. For this deep dive, we're looking at a huge strategy focused on what the sources are calling pre-senior times digital health.
It's a really ambitious mission.
It is. The goal is to build these sustainable, dementia-friendly communities and workplaces.
And to do that, they have to use a completely new paradigm. The goal is really threefold. First, you have to dismantle that social stigma. Second, you have to make prevention a reality, starting with that pre-senior generation. And third, you need a support model that can actually last.
And that's where this phygital idea comes in.
Exactly. It's all about combining that online digital infrastructure with real-world human services.
Okay, let's start with that social hurdle. Because the sources are pretty clear that it's the root of the problem. They talk about a culture of shame in these deep-rooted family systems. What does that shame actually cost people?
It costs them everything. I mean, when that culture is dominant, dementia stops being a medical condition and it becomes a family secret, something to hide.
Which isolates the patient and the family.
Completely isolates them. And it means that all these public support systems, like dementia cafes, they just can't work properly because the very people who need them are too ashamed to walk through the door.
That's such a vicious cycle. You hide the illness, which puts all the pressure on the family to provide care.
And that leads directly to caregiver burnout, people losing their jobs, and even more social isolation. It's an excessive reliance on the family.
So that's where the existing government initiatives start to break down.
They do. And the sources make a really critical distinction here. They say the government is actually pretty good at funding the hardware.
The hardware. You mean like the physical space, the building itself?
Correct. They'll give you subsidies for the rent on a venue, for the operational costs of a dementia cafe. They'll buy the coffee machine, the chairs.
But the gap is in the software.
The gap is entirely in the software. That's the human architecture. How do you actually design a program that works? How do you get doctors and care services to collaborate? And maybe most importantly, who do you connect with whom and how? The recipe is missing.
That makes so much sense. You can have the most beautiful cafe in the world, but if that shame culture is still there, it'll just sit empty. You need trust, not just four walls and a roof.
You need an ongoing relationship, a sense of accompaniment, not just a brochure. And that's the realization that pushes this strategy to look beyond the usual places.
Which brings us to a really interesting shift in focus, moving this whole conversation into the corporate world.
Right, promoting dementia-friendly companies.
Why there?
Because the workforce is where you find both the pre-seniors who are at risk and, just as importantly, the current employees who are often hidden caregivers.
And the metrics they use, the KPIs, are really telling. It's not just about reducing absenteeism or turnover.
No, the real focus, the thing that costs companies so much, is improving presenteeism.
Can you break that down for us?
Presenteeism is when your employee is physically there at their desk, but their mind is just crippled. They're either struggling with their own early symptoms or they're completely overwhelmed by the stress of caring for a loved one.
It's an invisible productivity killer.
Absolutely. It just drains the company's bottom line, and you never see a single sick day on the books.
So what are companies actually doing? What do these support services look like?
Well, the sources talk about designing in-house dementia cafes, which is a safe, confidential space right there at the company, and also providing structured support for employees and managers to help them balance work and caregiving.
It's an acknowledgement that an employee's life doesn't stop when they walk in the office door.
It can't.
Okay, so from the corporate world to, and this was the part that really surprised me, the local pharmacy. Is
Yeah.
that realistic? Aren't pharmacists already swamped?
It's a fair question, but the strategy is so clever because it leverages the one asset that pharmacies have in spades, established local trusted relationships.
So they're not adding a ton of new duties?
Not really. They're redesigning the pharmacy's value. It's a concept they call pharmacy branding. It's about creating these seamless pathways for people.
What does that mean, a seamless pathway?
It means the pharmacy becomes the one reliable place you can go to. They guide you from, say, early prevention tips to getting medical consultation support, all the way through to figuring out family caregiving resources.
Ah, so the pharmacist doesn't have to be the dementia expert. They just have to be the expert connector.
Precisely. They become this central coordination hub for all the local medical care and administrative services. It builds on the trust that's already there and keeps patients coming back. It's a brilliant way to use an existing neighborhood asset.
And that trusted physical location. That's the physical half of this visional equation.
It is. So now we have to talk about the digital half that makes it all work.
Yeah.
The thing called the Vita Nexus Tower, or VNT.
Okay, the VNT. The sources describe it as a 2D metaverse. When I hear metaverse, I immediately think of, you know, these complex 3D worlds, VR headsets.
And that's the critical point. The VNT is intentionally 2D. That choice was made specifically to lower the barrier to entry to almost nothing. No fancy hardware, no complex controls. You can use a basic web page on a computer. You can get into the VNT.
It removes the tech anxiety for older users.
Completely.
But why not just use something simple, like Zoom? Everyone knows how to use Zoom now.
And Zoom is great, but it's great for one specific thing. Scheduled one-way information delivery. A meeting. A webinar. It's transactional.
And the VNT is?
The VNT is relational. It's built for relationships.
Yeah.
In the VNT, you use a simple avatar. You can pop in and out whenever you want, 24/7.
So it's always on.
It's always on. So imagine you're a caregiver. It's 10 p.m. on a Saturday, and you're having a crisis. You can't schedule a Zoom call. But you can drop into the virtual dementia cafe on the third floor of the VNT and talk to a professional or a volunteer who is there right then.
So it's not an event. It's a persistent place, a virtual community center.
That's the perfect way to put it. It fosters this continuous connections, what the sources call ongoing accompaniment support. Dementia care is a marathon, not a sprint. You need that constant low-pressure presence.
And this tower has different floors, like a real building.
Yeah, it's structured like a virtual medical and support building. You enter on the first floor. The third floor has the dementia support center for people who have a diagnosis. The fourth floor is all about prevention and mild cognitive impairment for that pre-senior group.
And they're adding more.
Oh, yeah. There are plans for a clinic mall floor for online doctor consultations, a rehabilitation floor for therapies. It's designed to be a one-stop shop, a complete virtual healthcare destination.
This sounds incredible, but we keep coming back to the same question, digital literacy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get older adults who maybe don't even have a PC at home into this amazing virtual tower?
And that is the absolute genius of the model. This is where the physical and the digital snap together perfectly.
It goes back to the pharmacy.
It goes right back to the trusted local pharmacy. They install a simple PC in a private room, and the pharmacy staff, who the person already knows and trusts, they act as the digital literacy hub.
So they're not teaching dementia care, they're just
helping with the login. They help the person navigate the platform for the first time, connect with someone inside the tower. Their job is to be the friendly face that makes the technology disappear.
That initial handholding from a person you trust, that must lower the anxiety by about 99%.
It does. And here's the beautiful outcome. After a few guided sessions, the user gets comfortable. They start using the VNT from home, independently, 24/7. They acquire digital literacy naturally through use because they have a compelling reason to do it.
And I can see how that scales. The sources say it doesn't have to be a pharmacy.
Any trusted community entity can do it. A city hall, a community center, a hospital. The staff there don't need to be dementia specialists. They just need to know how to open the door to the VNT where all the borderless expertise lives.
And the vision here is global, right? Mm. I saw mentions of expansion beyond Japan.
It is. They're already planning versions for the U.S., Singapore, the U.K., Australia. But the ultimate goal is what they call the world version.
A single borderless service.
Exactly. A world version that connects people globally, gives them access to the best services from any country, and even creates a marketplace for specialized dementia-related advertising and products. It completely removes geography from the equation.
Wow. It really is a fantastic synthesis of that local, human trust, and a borderless digital infrastructure. This deep dive has really shown that solving a crisis like dementia isn't about replacing humans with technology.
Not all.
It's about amplifying them. It's combining that familiar, trusted face at your local pharmacy with the continuous 247 companionship of the Vita Nexus Tower. That's the real power of Phygital.
And if you think about the bigger picture, it really changes how we approach scaling community support. This model says you don't need to build massive new hospitals. You just need to activate the trusted points of contact that are already embedded in our neighborhoods. The solution is already there. It just needs the digital bridge to connect it all. So think about this. What other trusted local service, a place you go every week, could be one of these literacy hubs? Who else could you empower to open that digital door for someone who really needs it? The future of care might not be a super hospital. It might just be the corner pharmacy, finally activated.